Anytime anybody says, I know everything about Indian politics and anything I don't know is not worth knowing, you know that they are either lying or being vain or delusional or just bullshitting, for want of a more euphemistic word. Because our country's politics is so fascinating and so complex that even now, with so much experience, I keep discovering things that are new and things that I knew nothing about. And that is what I now realize looking at the latest turn in Kerala politics. The latest turn in Kerala politics is this Bishop Joseph Kalarangat. If I pronounce his name right, you will see the spelling on the screen. He's made this statement basically accusing the Muslims of using narco-jihad or narcotics jihad to convert women from other faith into Islam. He said this at a church service in Kottayam district. Kottayam district is also the home of Syro-Malabar church. Or you know a lot about Kerala Christians, Syrian Christians. In fact, my friend and colleague and former boss T.N. Nainan had once told me that, look, don't even try to get into the intricacies of the Christian community in Kerala, because there are so many churches and so many groups that you will not be able to handle it. So I'm not even going there. But generally, Syro Malabar is a large church group, particularly in the larger Kottayam district, in the larger Kottayam region. So this bishop made this statement, and after that, this statement was picked up. He said, it is not just love alone, quote unquote, that jihadi terrorists are resorting to, but narcotics are also being used to trap non-Muslims. They have realized that in a nation like India, taking up weapons and destroying other faiths isn't easy, but love jihad and narcotics jihad are a way out. So that is what they are doing. Now, if it was one oddball bishop saying, it would have been ignored. But soon enough, he found support from others. He found support from others, including from KCBC, which is the Kerala Catholic Bishops Council. They supported it, and some other bishops also supported it. Of course, many other church groups came in opposition to this. They said this is wrong. Kerala is a spiritual land where people practice their own religion. Kerala chief minister attacked it. Congress party criticized it. Of course, the BJP, forget criticizing. The BJP in fact said that this should be looked into. Now, that is where politics begins to get more complicated and more interesting. Now, Christianity and Kerala. First of all, Christianity is very old to Kerala. Christianity is much older to Kerala than in most parts of the world. So I do remember that when Rajiv Gandhi went to the US the first time and he addressed the joint session of the US Congress Senate, there, if I remember correctly, he said that, look, India is the home of all religions or something like that. In fact, St. Thomas came to India even before Christianity had stepped into Europe. And that actually is correct. From all the accounts that you read, St. Thomas the Apostle, he came to Kerala, to a place called, traditionally called Muziris or Cranganore, which is on the coast of Kerala, 28 kilometers north of Kochi. Sort of, that is where the mouths of the river Periyar open out into the Arabian Sea. And that is where traditionally, through history, through millennia, ships and boats have been coming from other parts of the world. So that is where he apparently landed in 52 AD, that far back. And that's how a lot of St. Thomas Christians came up in Kerala. So Kerala has a very old history of the church and Christianity. Similarly, Kerala has a very old history of Islam. So Kerala and that part of India's western coast actually received among the first Muslims in India. They did not come through invasion as they might have come in Sindh with Muhammad bin Qasim. No, these were Arab traders. And the fact is that Arab traders had been coming to Kerala coast again for millennia, since 3000 BC, because Kerala was the home of spices. So cinnamon, for example, dalchini, that was a spice much needed in the world, particularly in the Middle East. And people came in. So Kerala had that traffic. There were lots of boats coming. people staying back and people bringing in influences and taking back influences. So that's how Islam also came to Kerala very early on. So far, Kerala had generally had communal peace, particularly between Christians and Muslims. If anything, over time, it was the Christians and Muslims who sort of combined their votes and voted with the Congress Party or UDF, which is the Congress-led coalition, against LDF, and they gave strength to the Congress Party. But that has been changing lately. Lately, Kerala Congress, which used to be the party of the Kerala Christians, they weakened, they split, they reunited, and then they left UDF, they got disillusioned with them. Then they joined LDF for some time, so that benefited the left, and after that, they joined the NDA. So right now, they are more aligned with the NDA and the BJP. So that is the larger political headline in Kerala. That is the prominent, the preeminent Christian party there, Kerala Congress, is now an ally of the NDA and the BJP. We also need to understand the demographic, religious demographics of Kerala. So Kerala has about 55% Hindus. I'm rounding off the percentages. 55% Hindus, 30% Muslims, and 18.5% Christians. So this split has generally remained the same. This is the split from 2011 census. Now, where is it that I'm drawing wisdom for much of this episode of Cut the Clutter from? Because I admitted to you early on that I knew nothing about this Christian-Muslim politics in Kerala. Zero, double zero. And also nothing about how the changes in Kerala Congress's politics had come about. So this is something new for me. And I am relying greatly from an article by Anand Kochukudi, who is a former editor of Kochi Post. He wrote an article in The Hindu, which I am sharing with you. Please see that. And thank you very much, Anand. And also from a detailed story that our young reporter, Fatima Khan, has written out of Kerala on this subject. Remember, very often I keep saying that young reporters from the print will reach wherever the story is. So she covers politics in Delhi, but she's now traveling in Kerala and reporting on this story. So I, being the editor, I have the privilege of seeing the advanced copy of her story as it's being edited. So I get my wisdom from Anand Kochukudi and Fatima Khan's story. Please track that story when it gets published on the print.in. Now, Anand Kochukudi explains that in 90s and early 2000s, there was a big change in the Christian lifestyles in Kerala. That's when commodity prices were going up, particularly rubber prices were going up, and a lot of Kerala Christian families are wealthy and they had rubber plantations and other plantations. As those prices went up, their incomes went up, they got richer, and so there was a flurry of old churches being destroyed or demolished on the pretext that those churches were short of space, that they could not accommodate enough people, so larger churches needed to be built. But basically, this was a display of new riches. But as this was going on, this balloon got punctured. This balloon got punctured because the ASEAN-Indian free trade agreement came in. As that free trade agreement came in, prices of many of these commodities crashed. As these crashed, the Christian community lost some of its extraordinary riches. This is all that also the time, Anand explains, when the Kerala Muslims began to send higher remittances from the Gulf, because their numbers went up, they were doing better in the Gulf. So those remittances began coming back in, and it looked like now that the Muslims were getting richer in Kerala, and that might have led to some of this tension. It was at that time, he mentions, that is the first decade of the 21st century, after the turn of the millennium, that the term love jihad first popped up. I had said this earlier when I did an episode of Cut the Clutter on Yogi government's love jihad law, as they call it, in Uttar Pradesh, that the expression love jihad was first invented by the church in Kerala. Now, it was mentioned a little bit here and there, even in a more distant past, but it began to be mentioned more openly in the first decade of this millennium or at the turn of the millennium. And that was probably because Christians were losing some of this prosperity and they were seeing Muslims, Kerala Muslims becoming richer because their remittances had gone up. It's also in 2010, a turning point came. A turning point came in 2010 because this professor, Christian professor P.J. Joseph, who had mentioned the name of Prophet Muhammad in the context of a question in one of his papers, the papers he set, that caused offense to Muslim conservatives or one Muslim conservative group, that is PFI, Popular Front of India, and they chopped off his hands. In fact, it is just one of those serendipitous things that I'm talking about this, but just this morning I've received a copy of this memoir or autobiography that Professor T.J. Joseph has himself written. It's called A Thousand Cuts, An Innocent Question and Deadly Answers. So 2010, when this incident happened, that was a turning point for Kerala's Christians because they began to think that they were now being targeted. And this is when Islamophobia, Anand says, took root among Kerala's Christians. 2011, again then politics comes in. Everything comes from politics and everything goes back to politics. 2011, Kerala Congress suffered a setback, that is the Christian Party, and Indian Union Muslim League, which is also an old ally of UDF, of the Congress Party, they did much better. So that again fed into this fear. It was also the time when news came out that some Kerala young men and women, particularly from Christian community, had converted to Islam and had joined ISIS and gone to Afghanistan and other places. So once again, all of this fed into that fear of Islam, fear of growing Islam at that time, particularly among the Christian community, which is the smallest minority. It was at that time that the police chief, who was T.P. Senkumar, I thank Anand Kochukudi for all this information, police chief T.P. Senkumar, who later joined the BJP, right, after leaving service, the police chief of Kerala, T.P. Senkumar, said that Muslims' live births, that is, babies that survive, Muslim live births are now outnumbering Hindus in the state. Now, if the number of Muslims is about 30% and Hindus is about 55%, so that is, Muslims are about a half of Hindus. The police chief says that the babies produced by Muslims are more than babies produced by Hindus. That also feeds into this insecurity, particularly among the Christians, because they are the smallest minority. And as this went up further, one thing led to another. You remember the case of Akila, who converted on getting married to a Muslim boy and changed her name to Hadia. That case reached the Supreme Court of India. It was then said that an organization called Satya Sarini, which is backed by Popular Front of India, PFI, that was behind that incident, and that was her big supporter. This is when Christian bishops also began getting close to the BJP, and BJP also made a big outreach to the Christians, because BJP knew that one way to expand its footprint in Kerala was to play on this cleavage between the Muslim vote and the Hindu vote, because if UDF was not able to take both the votes, it would damage UDF anyway, and BJP thought that this Christian vote would now shift to them. So this is when a lot of Kerala bishops began to meet BJP leaders, and this is also a process that was helped along by K.J. Alphonse, who became a minister of the BJP and is even now a leading figure in the BJP. Now, it was also believed in this period that after the BJP came to power, BJP was going after the NGOs with CBI, ED, Income Tax Department, etc., etc., and invoking FCRA, particularly against religion-based NGOs. And that's when Christian bishops may have sort of reached out to the BJP for refuge and protection as well. And then came the 2019 Easter bombings in Sri Lanka. Now, Sri Lanka is not that far away from Kerala. So that also spread a scare. Again, the same Islamophobia that everybody has to worry. This is a resurgent militant Islam, and that is when this Islamophobia or this fear of Islam got mainstreamed in Kerala Christian society. And then, as usual, TV channels come in. So in many states, politicians have their own TV channels. In Kerala, religious groups also have their TV channels. So the Christians, the Saro Malabar Church has a channel called Shekinah TV, which also began to promote this. And Anand tells us that around this time, in more and more churches, Old Testament began to be read instead of the Gospels, which showed a hard turn to conservatism. Now, once again, once a momentum is set in one direction, it carries on because something or the other keeps happening. So, Erdogan in Turkey, he declared Hagia Sophia to be a mosque. When he did that, this was welcomed and an article was written welcoming it by Syed Sadiq Ali Shahab Thangal, who is a top leader of the Indian Union Muslim League. And this was published sort of in Chandrika, which is their publication, their paper, on election eve. That again fed into this impression. What happened in the process was that Christians got disillusioned with the UDF because the Christians thought they needed to be somewhere else. They were not getting protection, particularly because Indian Union Muslim League was such a crucial member of the UDF. They brought in more votes and more seats than Kerala Congress. So Christians decided to vote with somebody else. It just so happened, it's one of those ironies of Indian politics, that they did not go out to vote for the BJP or NDA, in spite of the fact that BJP had reached out to them and they were quite friendly with the BJP. They, on the other hand, voted for the LDF. So it is the left that benefited from this. So they obviously voted for whoever they thought was most likely to defeat the UDF. And LDF, the left parties, have benefited from this so far. This mood then continued to be built. And this particular bishop, Joseph Kalarangat, he continued to be the most vocal. He's the bishop of the Pala diocese. Pala is a place in Kottayam. And then another controversy came up. A Malayalam film called Isho came out. Isho, which means Jesus, that film was made by a Muslim. So that also became an issue of communal polarization. And then around that time, that other scandal was also going on. That is about the Christian bishop who had been accused of sexual harassment by a bunch of nuns, Bishop Franco Molacal. So conservative Christians were fighting themselves under a stage of siege. And that is when these statements, narcotics, jihad, etc., came in at a time when iron was really hot. Now, this Bishop Kalarangat is an interesting person. He had made a personal donation to the Ram Mandir construction just before the state elections. He's also been backed, as I told you earlier, by KCBC, that is Kerala Catholic Bishops Council. And in fact, Fatima spoke to some of the bishops and one of them spoke out to her. And he's Father Jacob Palakkappilly, double P and double L. Father Jacob Palakkappilly, who said, look, there is a lot of literature available. There is a lot of data available. There is a lot of international publications available showing that there is narcotic jihad and love jihad. And when she asked him to show her what was this evidence, he showed some PDFs from a publication supposedly called European Foundation for South Asian Studies, which has an article that says, that's headlined, Narco Jihad, the Haram Way for Halal Cause. You know what that means? Do something that is immoral to achieve something that is highly moral. So, Narco Jihad, Haram Way for Halal Cause. But when she asked for other data, etc., or other details for where this is coming from, he said he had no idea. Now, if you just look at the data in Kerala, because you know, we must look at data. Narcotics cases in Kerala, cases under NDPS, that is Narcotic Drugs and Psychotropic Substances Act. NDPS, it's a very tough law. You heard about this law the other day after Sushant Singh Rajput's death, and people continued being arrested for having 30 grams of this, 10 grams of this, 29 grams of this, 59 grams of this. This is a very tough law. So if you look at all the cases under Narcotics Act registered in Kerala, it's about 5,000 cases, and this is the data that Kerala government has given out. This is also the data that's available from National Crime Research Bureau, and this data tells us that of those arrested, 50% are Hindus, 34.5% are Muslims, 15.8% Christians. And what is the population breakup in this state? I will repeat it for you, although I mentioned it earlier. That is 55% Hindus, 30% Muslims, and 18.5% Christians. So the number of those arrested from each community under this law pretty much conforms to the percentages of share that they have in the population. So there is nothing that indicates any extraordinary spike in the case of one community, notably in this case, the Muslims. So it's not as if all the Christians are also united on this. In fact, one of these bishops was making similar sort of statements about narco jihad, etc., at the same church of Karuvilangad in Kottayam, where Bishop Kala Rangat had made this original statement, and four of the nuns walked off from there in protest. It so happens that these four nuns are also among those who protested against Bishop Franco Mulakal over sexual harassment. And there are other churches and other church groups in Kerala. As I told you very early on, it is very complex, it's very divided. Many others are also now debunking what Bishop Kala Rangat has started.